Margaret Nicole, who was born in then-communist Bulgaria, prayed for years and years to own her own Bible. Margaret remembers her first experience in a Christian bookstore in America.
I stood there like stoned in the middle of that bookstore and wept and cried. I couldn't believe that after so many years' prayers, God will answer that day my prayer. I got that Bible and hugged it to my chest, and I wept and wept.
Today, we'll learn the value of God's Word together. Welcome to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh, and I want to ask you a question. How many copies of the Bible do you own? I personally have a lot. There are different sizes. Some are journaling Bibles, some are study versions. I think I have two chronological Bibles, several different translations. Yep, I have got a lot. You too? On the rare occasion I'm caught without one, I'll look up a verse on my phone. Now, maybe you've converted all the way to digital. I'm kind of sentimental about the sound and feel of paper. Either way you look at it, though, I think we can agree we are blessed. Do you know that most people in the world don't have a Bible of their own? I'm going to say it again. We are blessed. Can I get an amen? Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth also has copies of Bibles everywhere in her home, and she wants to remind us that some people have made significant sacrifices so that we can have the Word of God. Today, I'd like to share parts of what you may have heard earlier this week on Revive Our Hearts, our flagship daily program with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. What Nancy had to share was so powerful, I wanted to make sure you had the chance to hear it. She was talking about God's Word, and she shared some pretty incredible stories of a few people who've gone to great lengths to get their own personal copy of the Bible. And some went to greater lengths to make sure you and I can read it today. Here's Nancy.
We owe a huge debt to a handful of men who paid a great price to get the Bible translated into the common languages of the people. And as you go back, you realize that some of those people were tortured for their efforts. Some were martyred. Those who were martyred were usually, during the Middle Ages, burned alive publicly at the stake as heretics. This happened, the church did this, the organized institutional church, not the true church, but the organized church considered them heretics for translating the Bible into the language that the people could read. That's what happened to William Tyndale in 1536, burned alive at the stake for translating the Bible into English. Now, those men paid the price. The translations were made. They were burned, but the copies of the Bible were let out into the lives, the hearts, and the minds of the people. And it was a revolution. It paved the way, as you know, for the Reformation, which is one of the reasons that we are able to have the Bible today. But once those copies of the Bible began to circulate in the common languages of the people, then it became unlawful and a criminal offense to possess one of those copies. And you can read many different stories. I think of a story of a man in Europe who was burned alive for owning just a piece of a page of one of those Bibles. And his children were forced to light the fire after he was fastened to the stake, because he owned a fragment of a page of one of those Bibles. That's continued to modern times. I think of the Soviet Jew who was a dissident, Anatoly Sharansky, who was detained and finally imprisoned in Russia in 1974, spent years in Russian prison work camps, and during those years he was stripped of all his personal belongings. But the only possession he managed to keep was a miniature copy of the Psalms. At one point during his imprisonment, because he refused to give that book up to the authorities, it cost him more than 4 months in solitary confinement because he wouldn't let that little copy of the Psalms go. Finally, 12 years after he'd been parted from his wife, he was offered his freedom. And you may remember February of 1986, as the whole world was watching, that Sharansky was allowed to walk away from those Russian guards and to walk toward those who were going to take him to be reunited with his wife. But right in the final moments before he was released, the guards tried one more time to confiscate that Psalms book from Sharansky. Do you remember what he did? He threw himself face down in the snow, clinging to that Psalms book and refusing to give it up. He would not go on to freedom without it.
I want to just break in right here and let you digest what you just heard. This man spent 12 years in prison. His most precious possession during that time was a miniature copy of the Psalms. And when he was released to be with his wife again, to have freedom, he would not leave prison without his precious Psalms book. How much is the Word of God worth to you? Is there anything you would give up to just read it for one day? Think through those questions, my friend. These are important. Here's Nancy again.
One of my favorite stories about those who've treasured the Word of God is a story that took place many years ago. It's been written up in a book called Mary Jones and Her Bible. Listen to that story about a little girl who treasured the Word of God. I must have a Bible of my own. I must have one if I have to save up for it for 10 years. The year was 1794. For as long as she could remember, little Mary Jones had yearned to hold a Bible in her hands so that she might read it for herself. For years, she had sat at night on her weaver father's lap and listened to him tell stories of Abraham and Joseph and David and Daniel. But her family was far too poor to afford a Bible, even if one had been available. For Bibles could scarcely be found in all of Wales during those days. 2 years earlier, Mrs. Evans, the wife of a nearby farmer, having learned of Mary's longing to read the Bible, had promised the child that when she learned to read, she could come to their house and read their copy of the Bible. As soon as the first school opened in a neighboring village, Mary had eagerly set about learning to read. Why? Because she wanted to be able to read the Bible. Now the 10-year-old girl had just walked 2 miles from the North Wales village of Llanfihangel to the Evans farm. The distance was no object to the eager child. "I'd walk further than that for such a pleasure, ma'am," she had said to Mrs. Evans. When once Mary was finally left alone in the room with the Bible, she reverently lifted off the white napkin that covered and protected the cherished book. Then with trembling hands, she opened the book to the 5th chapter of John, where her eyes lit on the words, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Confident that God had spoken to her directly, she earnestly vowed to search his word with all her heart. Every Saturday from that point on, she made the journey to the Evans farm, where she read, studied, and memorized entire chapters from the borrowed Bible. All the time, however, her heart ached. So great was her yearning to have a Bible of her own. She purposed that she must have a Bible at any cost. For the next 6 years, in addition to her studies at school and the many chores to be tended to at home, Mary used every available moment to do odd jobs for friends and neighbors. Every penny she earned was carefully laid aside until, at long last, she had saved enough to buy a Bible of her own. When she learned that the closest place a Bible could be purchased was the town of Bala, some 25 miles away, there was no question in her mind about what she must do. With hope in her heart, she started out early one morning, walking barefoot so as not to ruin her one pair of shoes. Before she reached her destination, her feet were blistered and cut from the stones in the road. Physically weary, but barely able to contain her excitement that her lifelong goal should be so nearly realized, Mary finally arrived in Bala, where she poured out her story to the minister, Mr. Charles. When she had finished, Mr. Charles reluctantly informed her that the last of the Bibles available for purchase had already been sold, and that the handful of remaining Bibles had already been promised to others. Furthermore, the society that had printed the small quantity of Welsh Bibles did not intend to print any more. So great was Mary's disappointment that she began to sob uncontrollably. Touched by the intensity of her passion to have a Bible of her own, Mr. Charles decided that she must have one of the few Bibles left in his possession. Words cannot describe the ecstasy Mary felt as Mr. Charles placed into her hands that precious treasure for which she had prayed, wept, and hoarded all these years. Her heart sang as she walked the 25 miles back home, carrying her very own Bible, the book that would remain her dearest friend and companion throughout her life. Do you realize the value of what you have in God's word? The law of your mouth, the psalmist said, is better unto me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. What a treasure it is. So the next time you pick up that Bible, one of many perhaps in your possession, remember what a price many have paid before you so that you could have that Bible? And don't take it lightly. Thank God for the privilege of owning your own copy. And as you read it, treasure it. For there is no greater treasure in life.
Well, there's not much I can add to what Nancy said. I just want to urge you not to take your Bible lightly. Read it, treasure it, and invite others to do the same. And you know, that makes me think of my mom's first Bible, at least the first one she treasured. It was back in the 70s when the Living Bible, a personal paraphrase, not a literal translation, well, it was brand new. And she had just come to know Jesus in a personal way. And as a new believer, that Bible with the puffy green cover was just easy enough for her to begin studying and understanding her Bible. Well, about a year ago, I asked about that Bible, and she brought it out for me to see. It's tattered and worn out and full of notes and thoughts and highlighted passages. Now, my mom owns a lot of nice things, jewelry, furniture, a couple of nice homes, even a real expensive clock. But I remember thinking, as I looked at her first Bible, that is her most treasured possession and our greatest inheritance from her. You know why I think that? Because I watched her treasure it. I watched her open it each and every day. And I wonder, who's watching you and me? Would they think our Bible is our great treasure? You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh, and today we're talking about what some would say is their most prized possession, the Bible. Now, I want to give you a little background on the woman who we'll hear from next. Her name is Margaret Nicole. Margaret was born into a pastor's family in Bulgaria under one of the most repressive communist regimes. Her family suffered greatly during this time of anti-Christian persecution. Eventually, her parents and brother would give their lives for the gospel. Despite the pressure and persecution, Margaret was able to attend some of the best schools and become a professional violinist. In her mid-30s, Margaret escaped to the United States. And in the States, she gave violin concerts and shared the gospel with anyone who would listen. Here's Margaret Nicole sharing the story of how she received her first Bible.
When I came here, I had two most prized possessions. I had my violin, and I had one page from God's Bible, only one page. Probably you would ask me, why didn't I buy myself a Bible? In our countries, we did not have it. The communists took power and they confiscated God's word from churches, hymnals. They went to houses and confiscated the Bibles available in our country. How did I get my page? A lady from our church, she was reading her Bible one night, and she overheard when the police came talking at the door to her husband, did they want to confiscate her Bible? And she thought, no, never my Bible, and she sat on it. And they looked for hours in her house, everywhere but not under her skirt, and there was the Bible. And then she came to church and tearing it page by page by page, she shared with us her Bible with tears in her eyes. With all respect to God's word, Pastor Woodall, I was so happy. I didn't get one from the numbers. I had a very good day, Genesis 16 and 17. The promise of God to give Abraham and Sarah a son. And here I was in this country. And it was close to Christmas when I came. And the second Sunday, when I went to the same very small church, next to me were seated an old couple, and it turned out they were German immigrants after the First World War, so we were able to communicate in German. And I told them, I'm 10 days American, and I was so excited. And they said, we'd like to give you a Christmas present. What would you like? Probably they thought I'll say, let's go shop until we drop. Don't we do that? I didn't. Do you know why? Because I was 12 when I got my page. And 25 years I prayed, Lord, I so want to have your word. And when they asked me, I said, if possible, I like to have a Bible. They said, oh, honey, this is America. Bibles are available. You could have it. So next morning they came and they brought me to the Bible bookstore. And can you picture me, the woman with one page for her entire life, getting into that Bible bookstore and seeing all the shelves, black, blue, green, brown, red, Bibles. I stood there like stoned in the middle of that bookstore and wept and cried. I couldn't believe that after so many years' prayers, God will answer that day my prayer. I got that Bible and hugged it to my chest, and I wept and wept. My friends, it was joy first, and then it became sorrow. The first person I thought was my brother. He was a pastor in Bulgaria, having a 1,500-people church, and preached from a couple of pages, copied by his own hand, and so were the others. No Bibles. And I said, but Lord, what about them? What about them? They cannot all come here. And you couldn't send Bibles. That's why I so respect all the missions, Brother Andrew and the others, who smuggled Bibles, but they couldn't smuggle for all of us. And I made a covenant with God that day, and I said, Father, I am not a man, I am not a preacher, I am not a teacher, I am not an evangelist, I am a musician and a woman on top of that. What can you do with my life? But you have it. And I thank God that He never looks for able people, He looks for available people. I thank Him for that. The first 2.5 years I was doing what I know to do. I was professor of music and gave concerts. And then the call came, I gave up everything and started traveling to raise funds for Bibles. 1993, I was in Bulgaria back with 10,000 Bibles printed in the country, this very same Bible. The pastors of that country had their first conference in freedom. In that hall, when I entered with the Bibles and with my own hands started giving each pastor their first Bible, the joy and the tears and the gratefulness of their hearts and the prayers which went for you, for the American Christians who sent them the Bibles. And on their behalf, I'd like to thank you. I like to thank you as Christians, but on the same token, I like to challenge you. Anytime you take your Bible for granted, I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind you of this page, because it not represents only Margaret Nicole. No. Millions of your brothers and sisters around the world are still on their knees to pray for God to send him his word. For me, the most sinful corners in every church I have been and seen is lost and found. You know why? The most lost items and never looked for are the Bibles. That's how much we appreciate them. And I challenge you tonight to cherish your Bible, to thank God that in our country we could go to bookstores anywhere in such abundance to get God's Word.
That's quite a challenge Margaret gave. A challenge to cherish your Bible. You know, it can be hard to cherish something that is in abundance because we don't know what we would do if we didn't have God's Word. It's on most nightstands or in many bookshelves across our country. Margaret Nicole devoted her life to serving the Lord and went home to be with Him on April 18th, 2020. Here's one more thought on God's Word from Nancy.
God's Word says in Psalm 19 that the Word of God is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and that it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, and that it's through reading and keeping of the Word of God that we receive great reward in our lives. I want you to have the rewards that come from knowing God's Word, not just from having copies of it, but from knowing it and reading it and studying it and memorizing it and personalizing it and getting it internalized in your own life. So maybe right now, if you're in a place where you can do this, you'd like to just pick up a copy of the Bible. You probably have one real close to you. Just put it in your hands and look at it, and then lift up your eyes to the Lord and your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for giving me this book. Thank you for making it available to us in the English language and for those who've paid such a price so that we could have it in our language. Thank the Lord that we live in a country where we're free to purchase copies of the Bible, to have them, to own them, and to make them a part of our lives. And then ask the Lord to make this book precious to you. Ask Him to help you not to take it for granted, but to make it one of your most cherished possessions and treasures. And not just the book itself, because the Bible is more than just paper and ink and a leather or hardback cover, but ask the Lord to make what is in that book to become the Word alive in you and to cause it to change your life as you treasure it from this day forward.
The laws of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul,
reviving the soul,
reviving the soul.
They are
more precious than gold.
There was a recurring theme that we heard today. We heard it in the story that Nancy shared about Mary Jones. Margaret Nicole said it, and Nancy also said it. Treasure the Word of God. It'll change your life. It should be one of your most treasured possessions. So many people were willing to give up money, sleep, comforts, and as we heard Nancy share, some people even gave their lives. Friend, what would you give to spend more time with the most important possession we have? To soak in the Word of God, to seek God's heart, to savor our Savior. We might not have to give up our lives, but we can give up time, sleep, TV, tablets. And Revive Our Hearts wants to help you spend time in God's Word, to soak and seek and savor the Bible. We want to send you a Place of Quiet Rest journal from Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth. This journal has helpful prompts, a list of suggested Bible passages to study, and questions to assist this process of giving more to God. For a gift of any amount this month, Revive Our Hearts will send you this journal. You can make a gift by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or go to reviveourhearts.com/weekend and click on today's episode. It's called Giving Up. Next weekend, we'll celebrate the sanctity of life. And on Revive Our Hearts weekend, we'll talk through just how sacred human life is to God. After all, He created you and me and all human life. I hope you'll listen next week. Thanks for listening today. And thanks to our team, Phil Krause, Blake Bratton, Rebecca Krause, Justin Converse, Michelle Hill. And for Revive Our Hearts weekend, I'm Dana Gresh. Revive Our Hearts, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.